Dynasty Refinery Podcast, your home of in-depth dynasty analysis with your host, Michael Royer, and co-host, Jared Fox. Prepare for content to drop in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Dynasty Refinery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. Joining me as always is Jared Fox. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, Mike?
Not as good as someone at the end of this episode is going to be, because they're going to get a free entry into our Dynasty Refinery Listener League 2. Sounds pretty exciting, right?
It does.
I'm going to start out by reading a couple 5-star reviews. We're up to 29 now, because you guys have really, you know, stepped it up. We have NP Bennett says, just checked you guys out. Love the content so far, and we'll be adding this to my podcast routine for sure. Exclamation point.
Thank you, sir.
Dynasty Troy put, love the episode on startup draft strategy and rebuilding strategies. A lot of you guys seem to like those, and we're going to try to give you another one of those episodes like today.
Troy, my boy.
And the last one is just from 901 customer. Off-season analysis is invaluable.
901, love you a ton.
Yeah, we're more from the 717. That's how we rep here. But, you know, today's episode is one that I'm very passionate about, is the art of the trade, you know. I'm in 10 leagues, made 132 trades last year in 10 leagues. Do you know anyone who trades as much as I do?
That is absolutely redonkulous.
Yeah, no, I don't.
No, I don't know anyone that trades close to that much. But
so I'm going to go over some of the things that we do in trades. We're going to talk about how to get trades done. We're going to talk about some rules. We're going to talk about some examples of, you know, variations of trades that Jared and I, the techniques and the tactics that we use. So first thing, rule number one, be active, you know. Be active on the group chats, whether it's GroupMe, Voxer, Twitter, text. If you don't have one for your league, you need to get it set up. You know, a lot of those different ones, they have different notifications. They have a lot of different things. Me personally, I use GroupMe unless it's an all Twitter league. And that way you guys can really just, you can talk, you can get things set up. We did that for our Dynasty Refinery Listener League 1. We're going to be doing that for Dynasty Refinery Listener League 2 as well. So you can just chat it up with guys on there. You can find out, you know, we found out one of the guys from our league, you know, was obviously, you know, from another state, but he was right next to us, traveled in the other day. You know, you get to just understand where guys are from, what teams they like, what players they like, you know, what their style is, and those kind of things are invaluable, as it said there, like our podcast is. But knowing these people and, sure, and understanding things, that's huge.
Yeah, and it really does bring a league together and keeps everyone active. And, you know, sometimes leagues, after a couple of years, sometimes they start to die off a little bit, get a little inactive. But when you have that chat going, if guys are communicating all the time and stuff like that, it stays fun.
Yeah, and you make some bonds aside from just football. You know, you find out, I mean, some of the guys like football cards, other guys, you know, you find out things about what's going on in their life. And, I mean, it's cool. It adds things. It helps you be active. The next one that I like to use is trade bait. And I know a lot of people don't use that. Some people totally misuse that. MFL has a section that you can update your trade bait. The biggest turnoffs for me, you know, this is my profile on when I had my Tinder account. No, my biggest turnoffs are when people turn their trade bait, they put their whole team on.
Right.
Or they'll put just, you know, crotch stains. They'll put the guys on your team. Like, nobody wants that player. You know what I mean? Nobody wants Jermaine Kearse, except that one guy. We all know who that is. But, you know, if you put your whole team on there, that doesn't say anything. If you put the worst players you have, that doesn't say anything. List 4 or 5 guys that you like. You may not want to trade Joe Mixon, but you put him on your trade block this time of year, and someone might offer you, you know, they might offer you Josh Jacobs in the 101. You know, like, people, you don't know what people are going to do. And sometimes, unlike, you know, some of the more refined leagues that you're in, some of the newer dynasty owners, they'll jump on that and they're like, oh, I didn't know he was ever going to trade him. And Jared and I both believe that if we treat it like a stock market, everyone on your team is tradable. But if they don't see that, sometimes they just assume, well, that guy would never trade Saquon Barkley, you know? So trade right. baits to me are an interesting tool. And then get to know your league settings. I mean, before you make any trades, make sure you know, I mean, all trades are different. Is it a one quarterback league, you know? Then obviously we're not valuing those too much. I saw somebody the other day ask me if they should trade Mike Evans and a first for Patrick Mahomes in a one quarterback league. I'm like, whoa, pump the brakes here. You know, I thought it was a super flex trade. In that case, jump all over it. But, you know, that's important. Super flex and how your league values quarterbacks. Not every super flex values quarterbacks the same. You know, like, I did 2 startups recently. One of them, quarterbacks went in the first like three rounds. The last one I did, there were still quarterbacks going off seventh, eighth, ninth round, you know, knowing who's going to value quarterbacks.
Yeah, as well as the scoring. I mean, yeah, there's a big difference between four-point quarterback touchdowns and six-point quarterback touchdowns. There's a big difference between four-point rushing touchdowns and six-point rushing touchdowns. I don't think anyone messes around with rushing touchdowns, but you never know. Interceptions, another thing. One-point interceptions, three-point.
They have bonuses for longer runs, bonuses for longer receptions, things like that.
Point per carry for running backs that rush the ball. That
tight
can
end
be a big
premium,
thing.
You know, all those kind of things. And then know about your roster construction, how many teams are in there. You know, sometimes people take over an orphan, they don't know how many teams are in there, things like that. All that is important for being active. So rule number two, rule number one was easy, be active. Rule number two, be respectful. Now this one, you know, Jared and I have made a bunch of trades and we're in some leagues with some people that, you know, they might rub you off the wrong way. And the way that is like when you get an offer, don't insult them by like making an offer of a buy low where it's so bad that you just want to throw up. You know, I was offered a dynasty rookie pick in 2019, the 408 for Mike Evans. You know, there was no counter there. I hit reject and I called Jared right away and I was like, can you believe this? You know, and then we poured one out for that guy. You know, that's the kind of trade that you never make a trade with that guy ever again. And, you know, I think I might have got one done in 4 years with that particular person.
Yeah.
Counter reasonably. So sometimes, you know, you get a guy who he sends you an offer and you're like, man, that was bad. I'm just going to flip on the opposite side really bad, you know, and then that trade talk is completely done, right? You know, just being respectful enough to say, you know what, I value this player a little bit higher, you know, and give reasons, you know. Really, when you reject a trade or when you do a counter trade, you should almost always give some kind of explanation. You know, I don't quite value that guy that high. And just those little words, just saying things, continues the conversation. A lot of times it's a hard reject and it's over, you know. And there are times where, you know, a friend of mine, Dan, we go back and forth 10, 15 times back and, you know, talking about it and just trying to say, well, I don't quite value this guy here. Where do you see him? You know, why don't you, what if we put this guy in? But if you just hit reject, it's over.
Right. And yeah, the other thing is with, like you were saying, don't send insulting trades. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard guys say, you don't know until you send it, you know, if a guy's going to accept it. But also, you can cut ties pretty quickly with people once you offend them with those types of trades. So personally, when I send an offer, I try to send an offer where I think I'm going to win the trade, obviously.
Right.
But I try to get as close as I can that I know that they're going to accept. I don't say, hey, I'm going to send him some, you know, dumpster fire of a trade just for the sake of seeing if he's going to accept it. Those only happen when somebody sends you a cold offer and it's like, wow, I got to accept this before he thinks about what he just sent me. Yeah, that happens, but you don't want to be the one sending that offer and thinking that it's going to work out like that. I mean, that's a good way to piss people off in your league and cut ties. And I love sending offers where I feel like I'm going to win because I feel like the side that I'm asking for has more upside. Because I feel like a guy like Baker had a bad year last year, might do better. So I'm offering to trade for him, you know, and giving what an equivalent value is right now in today's market. But I feel like Baker has more upside than the side I'm giving up. That's how I like to win
Absolutely.
Trades.
And I find most of my trades aren't done with just cold offers. You know, that doesn't happen usually too often for me. But when I do that, and people that know my trade style is, I'll offer 75 cents for a dollar, you know, knowing that he's probably going to offer me, you know, he was going to want a dollar and a quarter for my dollar. And then we get in the middle and a dollar for a dollar, at least in our heads, you know. And that's the fun thing about Dynasty is you might think you're winning your deal. I think I'm winning my deal. We both leave feeling good. And that's the kind of trades you want to make. You know, you don't want to make, I mean, if you get traded something awful and you accept it, go for it. But we all want to make trades where both teams feel like they're leaving there better. Because if you end up hosing somebody in a deal, they're probably not going to trade with you again because, you know, that those kind of things happen too.
No, that's very important. Know the other guy's roster and the other guy's needs even more than your own. I mean, like, I'll dive in and see, you know, I'm running back heavy in a league, so I need to trade for a wide receiver or something else that I need. I'll look at every single team and I'll say, which team needs a running back the most? You know, I'll pick those teams out and I'll start talks. You know, you don't want to just randomly dive in and say, I want Kamara, so I'm going to go for the guy that wants Kamara. No, look for the team that needs a running back, you know, and, you know, make it happen, man.
Absolutely. So we got rule one, be active. Rule two, be respectful. Number three, know the market, okay? There are so many tools at your disposal right now. It's like the housing market. You know, you got to know where things are at. You can't offer a certain way. And some tools that you guys can use for that is obviously Twitter. And that's how most of you guys got in touch with Jared and myself. You can find Jared at Dynasty Refinery, and you can find myself at Dynasty_DadFF. And, you know, we'll retweet things. There's Twitter polls. Those are huge. They're not end-all be-alls, though. Sometimes you're like, oh, man, look at that trade poll. There's no way I should make that trade. You know, it's a tool. All of these things are tools. But you can use Twitter for news. You want to find out what's going on about Stefon Diggs? Put that in. You'll see that he wore an Arizona Cardinals jersey in his workouts today, so now everybody thinks he's going to the Cardinals. You know, you can find analysts and just type in, I want to find out what's going on with Kyler Murray. You'll see 10, 15 different things there. And Twitter is a great tool. If you guys are not on there, highly suggest it. You know, I suggest it to everybody that I'm in leagues with now. Just go on there and check it out, you know, and subscribe to guys. You can pick 5-10 guys that you want to listen to, you know what I mean? And then you aren't inundated with tons of useless information.
Right. And it's so good to find out where the market is. I was actually extremely surprised when I started looking at Twitter polls and stuff, like certain players, how high everybody was on. I mean, you look and there's like 500-600 votes, so you know it's a good evaluation of what people think, and it's just like that. Yeah, it's a great tool, you know?
And it's tricky, too. I mean, there's some Twitter darlings like Ian Thomas and Devin Singletary and Miles Sanders who have more value on Twitter than they do in your home personal league, more likely than not. There's trade calculators. Dynasty Trade Calculator has a great one. You know, I use that one quite a bit. There's one for Dynasty Underworld, you know, has one. There's a lot of people that have trade calculators. Under the Helmet has one. But personally, you know, those are just it's a tool to look at values and get ideas. It's not one way to end deals is if you send it, well, look what this calculator says in value. And then you're showing the other guy up. And then we go back to rule number two. You're not being respectful. You know, you can say it in a nice way, but a lot of times people are like, well, you're an idiot. This trade calculator says that you're winning this deal by 15 points. Why aren't you taking it? Well, I mean, if you're taking a picture of that and sending it to me, you realize there's something wrong there, you know? So that helps know the market. It helps change things. And you know, that's something that I use quite a bit. But now, you know, I use Twitter more, but there's nothing wrong with looking at trade calculators and seeing where things are at and trying to understand some values.
And if you want to bring the calculator into a trade talk with somebody, the way that I always propose it is like, you know, oh, sorry, you didn't think that was close. Like, I was looking at the calculator and, like, you know, I was hoping that was close to what you would think.
Right.
But, like, you know, tell me how you're doing. Because I've had tons of guys, again, like you said, they throw the calculator at your face and they're just like, this is the value you're getting. And yeah, it says you're going to win. You should be taking this trade. And no, it doesn't always work like that.
Another thing, and this kind of goes with Twitter, but the hashtag Dynasty Trades. There are literally thousands of trades on there. And I usually try to, you know, respond to usually about 100, 200 a week, just responding with my evaluations on it. A lot of people do that, you know, and that's why you can tag me in there and I will answer it probably with a GIF. You know, that's kind of how I roll. I don't call it a GIF, you know. Jared, not so much. He's anti-GIF game.
I like photos.
But, you know, you can type that and you can see these trades. You can see what people are doing and how they make moves. And you can kind of be like, sometimes I look at a trade and I go, man, I never thought of it doing it that way. And we're going to talk about the types of trades I make. But those are some informations. And then just be informed, not all knowing. You know, there's some guys that are like, if they have a guy, they think he's wonderful. But if you have a guy, they tell you he's horrible, but they want him from your team.
Yeah.
You know, we all know one of the guys that are like that. We're like, oh, well, that guy's injury prone. But they'll trade for him in another league. You know what I mean? So if you're informed, that's fine. Pompous, all-knowing, you know, those kind of things people don't like.
If you're asking me for a player and then talking down on him, there's already something fishy there. It's just common sense. You
it's
know,
like going, some to people a, are, it's going to a new car dealership and be like, I really love Hondas, but this is why they're bad. Give me a better price. Like, it doesn't work.
Hey, maybe it worked once, you know, now you think that's your game, but I don't know.
Definitely
assume not
the, person,
the way to go about it.
Assume the person next to you is just as knowledgeable as you, and things go a lot easier that way, you know, and I really appreciate that, and I know Jared does as well. Rule number four, most important one, always be closing. ABCs. You know, you want to get the deal done. The longer it takes, the less likely it is, unless that's another super active owner. Jared and I have gone back and forth on trades for weeks, you know, and that's, I mean, we do a podcast together, so we have plenty of time. But if you're talking to someone and you know, he's like, I don't know, it doesn't quite work for me, but it's close, and you just let it go. That's out of sight, out of mind for that owner sometimes, and they just let it go. You know, so don't ruin a deal by not adding a third round pick or not adding a fourth round pick. Because the next thing you know, you could have moved up from David Montgomery for a third and got Josh Jacobs. And now a year later, you're like, I am kicking myself because I didn't give up that third round pick to get a stud.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then toss in roster cloggers. You know, a lot of times deals aren't done. You're like, it's close. And you're like, you know what, dude? Like, why don't you take, you know, this player here off my team? You know, that guy's not going to do anything for my roster. I might as well throw him to him. And he feels like he's getting a little bit of a better value, you know, and that could be a wide receiver who's 36 years old and you're a rebuilding team. Like, give up Larry Fitzgerald and finish a deal. You know right. what I mean? Give yeah. up Alshon Jeffrey and finish a deal. Because by the time you're competing, it doesn't matter, you know? So a lot of times people are like, I just want to hold on to every piece, but, you know, give up that guy and maybe you pick up somebody off of waivers who ends up being the next Will Disley or Chris Herndon or you know, Waller or one of those kind of guys. And now you got a little bit extra by giving away that player. You got rid of your roster clogger.
I like that you say that because a lot of times, sometimes you get high on a guy at a certain point, then he just ends up sitting on your roster for a while. And there's plenty of guys on free agents that are just as good that you yeah. could pick up. Why not throw them into a deal?
You got guys that try to hold on to, you know, Paul Perkins too long. Or like guys like that. And now they're not even in the NFL. You yeah. probably watch some of these guys in the XFL. So those are the four rules of trading. It's be active, be respectful, know your market, and then always be closing. You know, those things are the rules that I kind of live by when I make my trades. So let's get into some types of trades here. And this is where you guys can really benefit some of these things. And Jared and I talk about this first one all the time. It's insulated risks. So now is the time of year where I'm trying to take a guy who, you know, I might not believe in as much or might be getting a little bit older. You know, you take a guy who's turning 29 or a guy like Julio Jones or, you know, a guy that might help your team, but you can flip, like, you can get Cortland Sutton in the 104 for Tyreek Hill or something like that. You know, it's an insulated risk where you get Cortland Sutton, if that's a guy you believe in, and you get the 104. So now you get Cortland Sutton and CeeDee Lamb. Now all of a sudden you've got two shots to replace Tyreek Hill where you could have two guys putting up similar type production that just Tyreek Hill would do.
Yeah, with a chance of not quite doubling up on value, but you could come close to almost doubling up on value, especially yeah. with that kind
and
of trade.
We've done this a lot of times, and you and I talked about it, and we were even on a group chat where you were kind of mocking me about this today. But, you know, 3 years ago when Michael Thomas was a rookie, you know, I gave you Michael Thomas and I think a first-round pick for A.J. Green, you know, and A.J. Green put me in a position to win a championship. But that was an insulated risk that you made where you won that trade big time, you know, and we've both done those kind of trades where, you know, last year I got Calvin Ridley and a random first for Stephon Diggs. That random first is the 102. You know, those random firsts add up, yeah. you know, and people just throw them in there thinking their team's going to be good or that Stephon Diggs is going to put them in a position where they're going to win a championship. But next thing you know, this guy gets injured, that guy gets injured. What you thought was a 110 to 112 is the 102, 103.
Yeah, and draft picks, especially draft picks that are a year or two out, are the perfect way to insulate your trade because they're cheaper.
People give up that 2022 pick right now. You can get that first for the equivalent of maybe a 2021 second, you know, and sometimes people just, they value them that way. But if you're patient and you're in a rebuilding process, that 2022 first, we don't know what that class is going to look like. We don't know what that guy's team's going to look like in 2 years. That could be a nice pick.
Yeah. Also, another way to insulate a trade is, if you're not, you know, you can't seem to get a first out of somebody or a good pick out of somebody, go for a player that's a little bit down. Throw in like a David Montgomery or something that, you know, his value isn't so high, but he has a chance to perform a little better.
Absolutely. Next one that I like to make right now is just small move ups in rookie spots. Okay. So right now, no one's trading rookie picks. You know, they're trying to hold on to them. But what some people might do, because they heard this is such a deep class, and Jared and I have been saying from the beginning in Superflex, you want to be in that 101 through 108. Now we're thinking 109, you know, with Cam Akers really coming on. So take the 112 and the 212 and package them up and try to get into 19, you know, or take the 212 and 312 and try to get up to 205. Start packaging some picks together to move up, because the top 15 picks in this draft are top notch. You know, the top 8 or 9 are superstar potential. You want to get up there as much as you can. Just really take it, take the you know, 112 in a 2021 second and get that 108, 107 and move into that range where it's likely a home run.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the choice between like CD Lamb or you can wait and get like Chenault and I don't know who goes in that late first round, like a Higgins-ish, you know, yeah. Jeffers. You want to go with the sure thing in Lamb. I mean, I can tell you right now that there's a lot of times where guys do hit and they, you know, they'll hit on two guys late. Our buddy Dan seems to do that all the damn time. Yep. But it's, I mean, taking those studs is just, it's such a sure thing. And nothing in a rookie draft is ever a sure thing. But I don't know. I understand what you're saying there.
CeeDee Lamb is as close to a sure thing at wide receiver
it
right now.
Really
but,
is.
You know, that's a good thing. We always talk about this, but sell high, buy low. We were talking about right now is not the time to buy Christian McCaffrey. It's not the time to buy Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. It's not the time to make those kind of trades. Now's the time to make trades for up-and-comers, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders. You know, and those guys are kind of already getting unavailable, but AJ Kyler Brown. Murray, you know, those guys, you want to get those guys who before they are. Right now, we're going to do a hot takes episode, you know, next, but now's the time to buy DJ Moore before he blows up, you know, and there's other guys that have depressed value right now, like you said, that you might have believed in last year. You can get Paris Campbell for nothing, you know, Justice Hill, you were talking about David Montgomery, guys that didn't perform last year or guys that, you know, had a down season. You can buy on the cheap, and now's the time to do that. You got to take advantage of that rookie fever. Everybody wants the rookies, but nobody buys vets in the offseason. You know, and if you zig while everybody else zags, you win.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy really high-level production for rookie picks. And, you know, two examples of that recently, I paid the 111 in a tight end premium for Zach Ertz. And in another league, I paid a 112 for Todd Gurley. Now, you might say, okay, both those guys are getting a little bit older, but the 111 and 112 are not going to have the same production, and those are contending teams. You can't tell me you're getting a guy at 111 who's going to have the same production as Zach Ertz in a tight end premium or Todd Gurley. And, you know, obviously we know Todd Gurley. I personally believe for the next several years he's going to be an RB2, but if I get him this year and he wins me a championship and I sell him for a second next year, it's a win.
I love how we've been talking about it for years where we almost had like a map laid out of the year where we're like, all right, once the rookie fever kicks in, we're buying the veterans, you know, to try to win. Once it's during the season, you're buying the young guys that haven't kicked in yet. Like last year during the rookie, you know, draft time, everybody was high on A.J. Brown. Yeah. Come the season, he didn't do much the first like 6 weeks. His stats weren't that great. You could have bought him for next to nothing. I had a guy offer me a first-round pick that ended up being the 106 plus A.J. Brown for Cooper Kupp. You know, so you get stuff like that.
And the same guy offered me A.J. Brown and two firsts. And we love you, EB. But two firsts for DeAndre Hopkins. And we both talked each other out of those deals. Yeah. And it's like now we look at it and like, oh, man. But if that A.J. Brown was J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you know what I mean? Then you look bad. You know, you're like, oh, he didn't produce. So trusting your gut on those things, if you buy rookies in draft that are in season and you buy vets in the off season, you win.
Yeah, I mean, the value of a veteran player during playoffs or right before playoffs in like a fantasy league compared to what his value is in the offseason, it's like night and day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So know what time of year you're buying and selling your different players.
Yeah. And that's a good point there. Jared and I both like leagues with no trade deadlines because you can make it continues the season a little bit longer. It continues the buying opportunity. It makes those guys that want the ship to give up future upcoming pieces that they might not want to give up, but they want to win it, you know? And it's all about winning championships. If you give up the future asset and you win the championship, you feel good. If you give up the future asset and you don't, you feel like you just got kicked in the junk, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's a tough move.
And that actually helps bring those good teams down and equal everything out, even more than getting the bad draft picks because of your, you know, finishing
You and I
position.
Are in a league where you know, I bought Deshaun Watson. And I believe it was Deshaun Watson and Cortland Sutton. And I gave up Sony Michel and Russell Wilson. You know, I'll do that deal all day now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things where you want to make sure, you know, you're making those kind of moves and you're giving them veterans that aren't helping your team to get future assets that are going to help your team.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen guys throw away their future, yeah. you know, and their team making trades to win a championship.
Correct. The next one, we got the rookie fever coming up, you know, and everybody's going to want to get in there. They're gonna have their guy. They're going to fall in love with their T. Higgins or their Jalen Ragers or the guys at the end of the first. And Jared and I are advocating 101 through 109. You're going to get a stud 110 and back. Give up a 21 first and get yourself another player. So right now, let's say 110, you'd be taking T. Higgins. Give up, you know, go get Paris Campbell and their first. Or go get, you know, a guy you believe in that they might not end their first next year because it's 110. Chances are, I mean, you got a 9 out of 12 chances that it's going to be a better pick than that.
You have the same chance as you did last year with Paris.
Yeah.
But now you're adding a first to it.
Exactly. So people give up on players right off the bat, and he was injured. You get that. Now you got two shots to get better than that 110. You know, and if you need that 110, chances are someone in that range is not going to win you a championship year one. You know, but then you end up pulling a guy from last year and you mix him in with that future pick. Now all of a sudden, you know, let's say Paris Campbell becomes a wide receiver 3 and helps you during some bye weeks, and then that guy's team isn't quite as good and he gets the 107. You just moved up 3 spots and you got a solid wide receiver 3 on your team, which helps you win. And then next is we want you to get creative, you know, and I know not every commissioner is into this and not every team league is okay with this, but a couple years ago, you know, I traded what ended up, you know, the guy had 2 firsts. And he wanted Jay Ajayi off my team. Remember when Jay Ajayi still had knees?
Oh, I do.
He's like, I want Jay Ajayi. And I was like, well, you got 2 firsts. I was like, I really want my first back. And he's like, well, no. He's like, I'll give you this one. And I'm like, well, that's one of the better teams. I was like, why don't we do this? And this is where you get creative. I was like, if he rushes for 100 yards 5 times this year, I get the higher pick. If he doesn't, I get the lower pick. I've never heard of many people doing that. But I ended up going from the 110 to the 105 by making that particular move, you know. And yeah, we could have went back and forth with some other things, but it was a gentleman's agreement. No one got ripped off or anything like that. We were both okay with it. We put it in the notes. The commissioner was like, sounds good, you know. And there, that way, for him, he got 500-yard rushing games and the 110. Or, you know, and I got the 105. We were both happy, yeah. You know. Another particular one is, and this one was kind of interesting, Duke Johnson, you know, when there was rumor of Saquon getting drafted 101, you know, by the Browns. The guy and I made a deal and we said, listen, you know, let's make this trade. And he goes, well, I really want Duke Johnson, but I mean, what if Saquon comes there? He's worthless. I said, well, if that's the case, then I'll bump that third round pick that I threw in the trade into a second. And it was just security for that guy just to say, you know what? Okay. All right. I'll do that deal. You know what I mean? And then I got the guy he wanted, or the guy I wanted. He got the guy he wanted. It was a gentleman's agreement. Nothing, you know, we're not saying make an agreement like, hey, if I win the championship, I get you a case of beer. That's called collusion. And I've dealt with that and I've left those leagues. And, you know, it just ruins the whole thing. Once somebody realizes something like that's going on, your league is over. Don't even partake in that. But these kind of things are just being creative. Gentleman's agreement. No big deal. The next thing we do, and Jared already said this, but and it's a little bit different, but I like to target lesser players and deals in a toss-up. So if I want, I've said Paris Campbell a bunch of times, the other guy I'm targeting is Mecole Hardman. So let's say I want Mecole Hardman off your team. I don't go to Jared and say, hey, what do you want for Mecole Hardman? Because, you know, that's not how you start it out. I want him tossed in a deal. I want him to throw in Justice Hill. I want him to throw in Tony Pollard. I want him to throw a guy in there. So I'll just go to Jared and I'll say, hey, what do you want for this guy? And then you know, we'll start negotiating. And I'll be like, I don't know. What if you throw in this guy? Now all of a sudden, he throws that guy in. You get him for free, you know, because that guy really wants to do a deal. Sometimes we get excited about a player we want who's under the radar, and as soon as you go to that owner who might be a lesser, you know, lesser informed owner, you tell him you want Mecole Hardman. Now he's on alert. Like, wait a second, this guy knows something that I don't. I better look into it. As opposed to, I'm making him an offer for A.J. Brown, and he's like, we both know A.J. Brown's got value, but then all of a sudden I was like, well, I don't know, man. Why don't you just throw in Hardman? And they'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's a win-win.
Exactly.
Last one we talked about, we always talked about buying vets, but, you know, in season, you have to pay a second-round pick for some of these veterans to get you into the championship. Off-season, everybody wants third-round picks. You know, they want those, even though it's like a 12% hit rate for a third-rounder, they'd rather have a third-round pick than a, you know, a depreciating wide receiver two who's going to help your team. You know, a wide receiver three, I should say. You know, and everybody always brings up Larry Fitzgerald, and we've all, I'm pretty sure every listener somewhere there has bought a Larry Fitzgerald share. I bought one for $308 last year. You know, so it's like, and it helped me during the playoff situation, and he's still worth the $308. You know, it's not like he retired or anything like that. So those are some trade tips.
And,
yeah.
And. I was going to say about the whole buying vets thing, and a lot of people want to say in the offseason, why would I buy vets? You know, I'm trying to get younger. Every year, it seems like everybody's trying to rebuild as soon as it hits the offseason, right?
One position you don't want to buy a vet necessarily is at the running back position, because they could be replaced.
Right.
So
exactly.
But for the most part.
But the reason I don't shy away from buying vets in the offseason is because I know the value is going to raise, like I said earlier, when it comes in season. So always think about the fact that, you know, I really want future first. But the fact that, you know, I could get one future first for a guy now when I could, you know, get a vet and train for two future firsts during the season. You know what I mean? You got to try to think of how you're going to buy, when you're going to get them. Because, again, the firsts are – it's not time to buy first. It's not even a time to buy future first right now because everybody's thinking about it. Buy that vet. Wait till he's worth twice as much as he is right now because somebody needs him for the playoffs, then flip him for those firsts that you wanted in the first place.
Rookie fever right now is that such – people are so excited about it. You can get legit – I saw someone traded Nick Chubb for the 101. When you draft Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift, you're hoping they become Nick Chubb. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that's – giving up that first for a stud is just – you're hoping that guy becomes him. And I saw other ones – the guy was a contender, and he messaged me. He's like, would you give up the 104 or four for Odell Beckham? I'm like, go get Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
I mean, you hope CeeDee Lamb becomes Odell Beckham. If you got a competitive team, take the stud for that. And we're going to come up with an episode here where we can tell you, before the rookie draft comes, guys you should buy or guys you can buy with those particular picks, and weigh the options. Be like, do I? And we do that a lot in our startup drafts because we put the rookie picks right in there. So you got to think. You're like, do I want the 101 or do I want this player? Do I want the 102 or this player? So.
And you know what? A good way to not make stupid trades is just think on it. Just think on it, whether it's hours, a few days, whatever it is. Just take time to think it through. Don't lose your mind. And ask some of your friends.
Yeah.
Always
ask people.
And Jared
and I are your friends. We are your friends. We love you guys.
Yeah.
And that's why we're going to give away a spot in our listener league right now. So, Jared, you want to shake the bucket here and get our drum roll going?
All right.
Ooh, it is exciting over here.
And we have Ace KC 10.
Oh, all right. We got a Chiefs fan with a free shot in our league. So, right now, we're two positions short of filling that league. We're looking at probably starting late next week. I'm going to start out I've sent invitations to all those teams. We're going to get things set up, and you know, it's going to be an exciting league.
Congratulations, Ace KC10.
We will be reaching out. Hopefully, he's listening. If not,
he or
we will
she.
Reach it. Oh, okay. All right.
Do you know?
I'm pretty sure it's a he, but you know, so thank you very much guys for listening. Keep those, you know, 5-star reviews coming. Keep asking us questions on there and wake up and refine those dynasty rosters.